it's very late. So I'll say a few words, maybe for 5-10 minutes. Those of you who wish to leave, then by all means, you know, you may leave. Those who have time and wish to remain, then you can hear. It's up to you, but no one will be offended if you do have to leave. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Very briefly, I mean, a lot of people are asking questions about this natural disaster, this tragedy, and this momentous event. It's a great calamity that has befallen that part of the world. People are asking questions about science and God and religion and fate and belief in Allah. Undoubtedly, it's a very testing time for the victims, those who are still alive, the survivors of that disaster, and their families and their loved ones, and especially for many Muslims all over the world who may be affected by some of the negative messages that have been coming out from various parts of the media and various parts of the establishment, and also some of the attacks on God and the mercy of God and on the very concept of religion and how this fits in to the grand plan of Allah, His mercy and His compassion. Remember, it's not an easy topic to discuss or to address and tackle, and we do not know the wisdom, but if I can just say the following few words. Our minds are feeble, and we can only comprehend so much. We have scales at jewelers' shops. Jewelers, they have certain scales, and these are very minute scales used to weigh gold and silver, sometimes even gold dust. Now, if someone wants to take this scale and place a giant boulder on the scale in order to weigh, what would be the result? The scales themselves would be crushed. This is the analogy of understanding the Qadr of Allah. Allah has given us minds of a certain limited capacity. We can only understand so much. There are some things that are beyond our comprehension. And one of those things is the Qadr of Allah. We will never understand the Qadr of Allah. We will never understand the wisdom of Allah in His creation. We do not understand the causes and the effects, and the whys and the hows, and the reasons and the wisdoms, or even the benefits and the harms of Allah's laws, Allah's structure, and Allah's qadr, and His grand plan for this universe. We do not understand, and we do not pretend as Muslims, we do not pretend or purport to understand these things. We believe in the Qadr of Allah. This is the time when our faith is in question. Our faith is in question. We should not question our faith. We cannot question our faith in Allah. But because of the testing times, our faith will be put into question. But we do not have the capacity, the understanding, the logic, the reasoning. We just don't have that capacity or strength to understand the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All we know is that Allah is our creator. We believe in Him. This is the time when logic and reasoning may not give you the answers. In a hadith related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Rasulullah, and by many other authors of hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shaytan will come to one of you and he will continuously question you, and he will say, so who created who, and who created this, and who created this, and who created this, until he will ask you the final question, so who created Allah? So what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam devise as a remedy? What does he recommend as a remedy? What does he give and provide to us as an answer on this occasion? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't apply logic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Shaytan makes one of you ask the question, who created Allah? And all you say is, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, I believe in Allah, and that's it. All you do is seek Allah's protection and refuge from Shaytan, and you affirm and attest to your faith. That's all we can do. The question of why this happened is eternally unanswerable, as much as the question who created Allah. We cannot answer that question. And similarly, this question cannot be answered. No one created Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal Himself. The qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah punishes whom He wills, Allah does what He wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause, Allah will bring about qiyamah. Remember, let us see this in a wider context. Allah has told us that the day of judgment shall take place, and the world will be destroyed. Not a few islands. But judgment, when it will arrive finally, will destroy in its wake not a few islands and a few oceans, but the entire planet Earth, the sun and the moon, the solar system, nay, the entire universe. يَوْمَ نَطْوِي السَّمَاءَ كَطَيِّ السَّجِلِّ لِلْقُطُبِ كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. Allah says, on the day when we shall roll up and wrap the heavens, just as a scribe rolls up the scroll. Just as we created everything in the first place, we shall restore its creation. Allah is the creator, He owns the universe. Allah will create and destroy and recreate as He wishes, as many times as He wishes. And Allah says, this is a promise upon us, binding, and surely we shall do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to destroy a few islands. Allah azza wa jal will bring, at the time of Yawm al-Qiyamah, utter catastrophe and complete destruction. Allah will wipe out everything. That is Allah's promise. And therefore there will be many, many small qiyamahs, many, many small hours of judgment prior to that, that will precede the final hour of judgment. Every man's death is his own day of judgment. So we believe in the qadr of Allah. I'm not going to even pretend to be able to provide logic and reasoning and sense to what's happened. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in it. We don't understand the wisdom of why and how. We all go through our own tragedies every day. We suffer losses in our wealth, in our lives, in our feelings, in our emotions, in our relationships, in our marriages. We suffer bereavement in our children, in our parents, in our spouses, in our brothers and sisters, in our siblings. We, in our friends and acquaintances, we see death, we see hunger, we see famine, we see suffering, we see loss of limbs, loss of life, loss of wealth, health, and loss of crops and vegetation. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُم مُّصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, we will most assuredly test you with a bit of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, loss of lives, and loss of produce. So in such instances, what do? Give glad tidings to those who are patient. Those who, when they are struck with a calamity, say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is the answer. This is the answer. When they are struck with a calamity, what do they say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What does that mean? Inna lillahi, verily we belong to Allah. Allah does what He wishes with us. We don't even own ourselves. We don't own ourselves. We belong to Allah. Allah may dispose of us as He wishes. Allah may do with us what He wishes. We suffer calamity upon calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and His qadr, we have to be content with the qadr and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even that is not without reward. For our patience, if we survive, for our patience we shall be rewarded. For our suffering we shall be rewarded. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that Allah azza wa jalla tests those whom He loves. Allah azza wa jalla, when He tests a believer and He wishes to purify him of all sin, Allah continues to test him. As he is tested, his sins are shed, until he is then finally taken to Allah in such a state that he is clean and pure of all blemishes and sin. So his deeds are accounted for, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may purify him before He calls him back into Himself. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, closer to the day of judgment, remember, this is one of the signs of the day of judgment. Let me move away now to another point about this whole thing. These aren't just natural disasters. These aren't freak occurrences. Okay, these aren't freak occurrences. These are the reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are His signs in His creation. When the sun eclipsed, well, the sun was eclipsed during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people began speculating and offering a superstitious explanation that the sun has been eclipsed because of the death of Sayyidina Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala an, the son of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who actually died that very morning. He died on the same day, the very morning that there was an eclipse of the sun in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. So when people began speculating, and a rumor spread throughout Medina that the eclipsing of the sun is a sign of the skies mourning the death of the son of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gathered the people, ascended the minbar, he performed the salah and then ascended the minbar, and after the, what did he say? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O people, know, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَا يَنْتَصِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ. Know, people, that the sun and the moon are two signs of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, they do not, the sun and the moon are not eclipsed because of anyone's life or anyone's death, but these are the signs of Allah. And then he continued that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merely warning you, frightening you, and reminding you through the eclipse of the sun and the moon. Therefore, when you see such occurrences, hasten towards the remembrance of Allah. Emancipate slaves, give sadaqah, give charity in the way of Allah, repent and seek forgiveness for yourselves. So these are the reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an imposter in any way, he would have allowed the rumor to continue that the skies are mourning for the death of his son. The sun is being eclipsed for the death of his son. But this was a sign, another sign of the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he came out and rid the people of their superstition that the sun and the moon are not eclipsed because of the death or the birth of any individual. Rather, these are the signs of Allah. Hasten towards salah, hasten towards prayer, hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah, emancipate slaves and give sadaqah and seek the forgiveness of Allah, and continue to remain in prayer until this calamity is removed from you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in salah for a very, very long time until the eclipse disappeared, until the eclipse ended. So, you know, if that was to do with the eclipse of the sun, similarly these calamities and catastrophes and these disasters, they are not just natural and they are not freak natural occurrences. These are the signs of Allah. These are the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation. Take heed, learn from them. When you are reminded of such, be reminded of your sins. Allah says in the verse of the Qur'an, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah says, corruption and strife have appeared upon the land and upon the sea as a result of the sins that people have committed, so that Allah may give them a taste of some of what they have done in the hope that they may return to Allah. These are the results of our sins, and they are a reminder, and this is only a taste of some of our misdeeds in the hope that we may repent and return to Allah. So the question is, what sins did they commit? And simple answer. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Fear a punishment from Allah that will not only target those who are guilty amongst you, and Allah is severe in His punishment. And Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says in a hadith that Ya Rasul, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be disfigurations and deformities and the opening up of the earth and the swallowing of the earth of people in my ummah, and when that time will come. So Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah, what of the normal people, those who are going about their daily business in their markets, the earth will swallow them also? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, yub'athuna ala niyatihim, but on the day of judgment they shall be resurrected according to their intentions. So the innocent ones will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This in itself is their compensation, their redemption and their forgiveness. Those who are guilty, this is only part of their punishment. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will see their intention. Those who have died have gone. We are still here. So, and it is highly possible that others may suffer in the east for the sins of the west, and the people of the west may suffer for the sins of the people of the east. This is Allah's Qadr. If you believe in Allah, accept it. If you don't, then question it. We do not understand. This is the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember, Allah has told us in the Quran that these are His signs, His warnings, and people can be punished for the sins of others. And why? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes allows sinful people. It's known as istidraj. This is one of the answers of many of the problems of the world. But while the sinful, guilty ones continuing persistently in their sin, they do so, they proceed with impunity, without any punishment from Allah, any check in their progress. Very simple, this is known as istidraj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلُهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. Give some respite. Give some respite to the disbelievers. Give them some respite for a short while. Allah gives them respite. So they, when their chains are slackened and their ropes are loosened and they feel impunity, they feel immune in what they are doing, they will sin more and more and more. Allah allows them to earn more and more sins in their accounts, so that when Allah seizes them, Allah will seize them thoroughly and utterly, and Allah will not spare them. So that's what happened with Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spared Fir'aun till the last minute. And there are many others who have lived throughout the dunya, lived their life, lived the stretch of their life committing sins and injustices and tyranny and oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not seize them in the dunya, but Allah makes their dunya their jannah and their akhirah their jahannam. We do not understand the qadr of Allah. This is a warning for us. These are the signs of Allah. When, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is merely frightening you with his signs of the eclipse of the sun. So Allah is frightening us also and warning us, reminding us of our position and our dependence on him with such signs in his creation. These aren't just freak natural occurrences and disasters. These are the warnings and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have any iman in their hearts will take heed. Those who have no iman, as Allah said in that verse, وَإِن يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. Even if they see every sign, they will never believe in Allah. We do not understand. We pray that Allah gives us a tawfiq to hasten towards Allah in seeking his forgiveness, in trying to seek redemption, in atoning for our sins, in seeking, in doing istighfar and compensating for our misdeeds. We pray that such signs warn us of our own impending doom and death and our hour of judgment when we will have to answer for our deeds. So we reduce our sins and turn to Allah in remembrance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect those who are. May Allah Azza wa Jal clothe those who are naked and unclothed. May Allah feed those who are hungry. May Allah cure those who have fallen ill and who are sick. May Allah give shelter to those who are homeless. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide warmth and solace to those who are feeling the bitterness of the cold. May Allah Azza wa Jal console, comfort and soothe the hearts of those who have been bereaved and who are still mourning the loss of their loved ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of those in that region the tawfiq to turn to him in repentance and in faith and in submission. And may Allah grant everybody else the tawfiq to realize all this and also turn to Allah in forgiveness and in repentance, and in seeking forgiveness and in repentance. May Allah also give those of us who have the strength, the wealth and the health, the resources and the money to sacrifice such health, time, wealth and resources, to even go over if possible to help such people, and if need be, and if we can't do that, then at least to give of our wealth and of our charity to assist these people who have been struck by such a calamity and misfortune. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us all, and we pray for his afiyah, for his protection. Wa sallallahu sallam ala abdihi wa rasooli nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
This lecture was given by Shaykh Abu Yusuf Riyadul Haq and has been presented to you by Al Kawthar Productions. For further information, additional lectures and books, contact us on 0121-773-5191 or alternatively by post at Al Kawthar Productions, P.O. Box 6008, Birmingham, B10-0UW, United Kingdom, or visit our website at www.alkawtharacademy.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.